Today's episode of Talking Games is brought to you by Concert Against Humanity. Cards Against Humanity is bringing back Concert Against Humanity at Gen Con on August 5th. The show will feature live performances from Eugene Merman, Aparna Nansherla, Jonathan Colton, Molly Lewis, Pollen Storm, and the Shock Tees, and more surprise guests from the Chicago comedy scene. The show is open to all. Grab tickets at concertagainsthumanity.com. Hey, Clayton, how do we get these fine sponsors?
Boy, you got me, Tim. How do we do it?
Oh, you're not normally the guy I go to for this.
I thought that was the bet. Tim, let me tell you.
Yeah.
And feel free to jump in here if you.
I would
you
rather
know
you just winged it.
All right.
Okay.
We're part of the Chicago Podcasting Co-op.
Co-op. Yeah.
Co-op. Hey, fuck yeah. This kid's got
nailing it.
They get us the sponsors. They work with a lot of different groups in the community in Chicago and stuff like that, and work with a lot of local Chicago podcasts. So definitely check out any of these sponsors, not just in the Chicago area, but also sometimes, you know, on the internet.
Yeah.
Which is nice. You've been on that thing?
Man, I've been on crazy. That thing, bro.
I don't care for a lot of it.
No, I understand. We always like to recommend one of the other podcasts on the network. Clayton, let's talk about Campaign.
What's their deal?
What's their deal? They do a Star Wars actual play podcast.
Right.
With former guest John Patrick Cohen.
Right, and also James D'Amato.
James D'Amato.
And hopefully future guests at some point, Cat Cool.
Yes.
Right. It's a great show, and they do Edge of the Empire, which is a really fabulous tabletop game. Sort of like Dungeons & Dragons meets Firefly, but in the Star Wars universe.
Clayton, you like Star Wars?
Man, I could talk about it all day. You know me.
Well, we can't.
Hold on.
Folks,
let's not throw the idea completely out the window.
Go on iTunes and throw us 5 stars or a review for Talking Games, and we will read it out loud on this podcast. Please don't make us say words that society has had us left behind because they are offensive to certain groups.
Those would get
You'd
censored,
think so,
right?
By the iTunes people?
Yeah.
Yeah, probably.
I'm going to have to write a strongly worded letter to the iTunes Corporation.
I think we've nailed this one. Maybe Kellen's the one holding us back in these intros.
You know, I've often thought that and said it out loud.
Why did I go in that boat?
It all traces back to that.
Oh, God. Here's the show.
Hey, everybody. I hope you're sitting down, because I've got some big news for you. It's Clayton Margeson with Talking Games, and my co-host,
Tim Dunn.
That's right, the original two, back
the original gangsters of Chicago comedy / podcast, video game podcast.
The OG from the CPO, wow, fuck, that didn't quite work.
Who knows?
From the CPD, Chicago Police Department.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, we're actually back to talk about games with other members of the Chicago comedy and gaming community. The two do not always intersect, but when they do, big things happen. It's my new slogan I'm trying for this show.
Have people not known we've been cops this whole time?
We're cops. So if anyone could tell us about crimes going on.
Yeah.
Again, this is a talk show.
Turn them in.
Normally we have...
We're doing something special today.
Yeah, we are. It's going to be real nice because what we decided to do is we were going to start recording before the guest got here.
Because there was a miscommunication.
Right. Timing is a little bit janky this week, but we're going to make it work for you, the listener, only because we like you so much. I would say love, but people are uncomfortable with that.
the concept of love?
With me saying that I love them when I'm like, they're like, you don't even know me, Clayton. And I'm
Ooh.
Like, listen, I totally know you, like cashier at Sears. Not Sears. I don't go Sears.
I would actually, if I was doing an 8-hour cashier shift, I would find that charming if someone was like, I love you.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You'd think that.
You'd think so.
But man, people don't respond well to my antics
Your love?
In public. My love.
Oh, I was going to sing
Get me
what
in
the
trouble.
World needs now. Kellen's holding us back as far as singing, too.
Obviously.
You and I always want to sing.
Yeah.
And he's like, stop it.
And he's like, no, I'm anti-intellectualism. we wanted to still get started and give you guys a little flavor. And that was the flavor part. Now we're going to talk about games a little
bit. Yes.
And how we normally start this is to ask the guest, what are you playing this week?
But and we'll get to that.
He or she will go last. It's a surprise. It's probably not a surprise.
It's a white man.
Yeah, people know who it's going to be, too, because it's probably in the title.
All right.
Tim, what are you playing this week?
What have I been playing? You know what? This has been fun. I'm taking Lisa through Firewatch.
Oh.
Yes.
Of polarizing opinions.
Very polarizing. Correct me if I'm wrong. That was the podcast where we talked about Firewatch, and I hit a button that erased the entire episode.
You kicked the cord out of the outlet somehow because you're leaning back in your chair, stretching out, like congratulating yourself on a podcast well done. Because we were at the fucking end.
We were like 40 minutes in.
Oh, God.
That was not okay that I did that.
That haunted me. It wasn't your fault, though. It was a total accident.
I totally understand.
But, man, yeah, if you felt bad about that, like, I understand. I would, too. But it's not your fault.
And then we had to, like, go through and be like, we talked about this already, right?
And also, because of that, I had already, like, the dialogue was great. And you guys, I'm sorry you'll never get to listen to it, but it was actually a really great, thoughtful episode.
Well, actually,
and at the end
Firewatch
of it, I was
kind
of like, you
there.
Know what? I think I kind of misjudged this game. Like, I don't think it's bad. I think it just wasn't for me. And it was like this very good moment. And then Tim kicked the cord out, so we lost it. So now I had to pretend that I was still like on the wrong side. And we kept having to call out like, well, what I would have said before is this thing. But I don't really believe that anymore.
Taking Lisa through Firewatch, she really likes it. I've also gotten real into Terraria. You ever play that?
Oh, no, but I am playing Starbound, which is
very
a very
cool.
similar game.
Yes. A lot of fun. I was telling Kellen last week, once you realize that like there's not a story and you just do things, it clicked for me, and it's so much fun.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's what I'm enjoying about Starbound, though I kind of feel like as soon as No Man's Sky comes out, that's what that's going to be.
I know, right?
And on a level that I hope is really good.
Yeah. I mean, it has to be good.
Really?
I guess what I'm saying is I'm going to take my own life if No Man's Sky is bad.
All right. I wish I was shocked, Tim. I really do. But honestly, I knew you were going to say that the moment I walked in here. I took one look at you. I was like, this guy's on the edge. What's going on?
Oh, let's stop joking about suicide. That's
but I
most
really
of what...
do want that game to be good.
No,
though.
Me too.
On record, I also would take my
Oh. Lisa and I also finished doing too much couples gaming. Not okay.
No, that's totally okay.
We finished Wolf Among Us.
Oh,
which
nice.
You're a fan of, I know.
How did you guys play Bigby? Like, what was sort of the outcome?
We played a nice Bigby.
All right.
Yeah, I know.
I might have to go back and play Mean Bigby.
Dick Bigby. Yeah.
That would be fun.
Like, I mean, so at the end, Kel and I were talking about how, Telltale games funnel you down a certain path. At a certain point, like, there's only so much they can do with the narrative, you know? And I can't tell if, like, there's sort of a, spoilers for Wolf Among Us, there's sort of a trial at the end where you got to present the evidence to, like, a mob.
Yeah.
And I can't tell
nuts.
If you can even fail that and, like, the crooked man can get away. Because it seems like they would have to create a whole different ending for that.
Right?
Yeah.
I bet there's, like, a way where he can turn them on you.
You think so?
Yeah, and it's, like, the same dialogue, but, like, mixed up a little bit.
But then it's, like, a game over and you got to go back a little bit?
I imagine it comes down to, like, at the last moment, like, he goes, like, push you in the well or something, and you can throw him in instead.
Oh.
And then after that, like, it just kind of gets resolved.
Yeah.
Because of blah, blah, blah.
Yes.
I feel like that's probably what they do. Because I doubt they have the balls to make it all hinge on, like, that many opinions, like, choices. Because that's full of choices.
Yeah,
that whole
that's
segment.
A lot of programming to do.
Yeah. And there's just no way.
Yeah.
I mean, I don't expect it either.
Yeah.
Like, oh, yeah, because that's really what I want from this game is for, like, this guy to get away with it and my character to, like, go to fucking fantasy jail or whatever. Like,
right.
That's not what I want either. So it's like, all right, fuck it.
But speaking of spoilers, at the end, there's a choice you got to make between the sweet prostitute and, I guess, Snow White. Although the choice is go after this prostitute woman who just told you some damning information that really invalidates the entire trial. And go after, I assume, in a romantic sense, or let her walk away. Lisa and I went after her, assuming we were, like, going to talk to her about the case. But I guess we ended up with her in
oh,
that
that's
sense.
Funny.
Is there an alternate scene where you just end up with Snow White?
I don't remember.
Yeah, I don't. Yeah.
I think so, anyways. But yeah, I'm like, what a, you know, like it's like a cosmetic swap for them, basically.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
God, so it doesn't, how that works.
It doesn't feel like Bigby was going to end up with a happy ending either way.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Exactly.
And Telltale Games don't normally do that. Clayton, what you been playing?
So I've been playing a lot of stuff. A little bit Overwatch, but not as much. It's kind of tapering off just a little bit.
Okay.
Not on purpose, but just kind of how things
like
work
a drug
out.
Addict.
But yeah, I am getting really into and high on drugs. No. I am Setsuna. I played a shit ton of that this weekend.
Yes.
Oh, man. I love it. Now,
for people who are unaware, it's a real throwback JRPG.
Yeah, big time. In fact, there's this really funny thing from Chrono Trigger and those other games that carries over so much that I'm like, this is a stupid idea. Like, it's legitimately not a good thing to do. And that is to, every time you meet a character who's going to wind up being in your party, you get to change their name if you want to.
Oh, yeah, love it.
Which I love, but it also indicates
balls,
like,
wiener.
Yeah.
You know.
That part I'm fine with, but it also makes you go like, when they're like, no, I won't join your party, or like, you know, I want to fight you guys or whatever, you know, in the back of your mind, like, well, this isn't going to happen.
Look, you're going to be.
I know what's going to wind up happening here, you know. Unless that changes midway through the game and they like fake out. I don't know. But I'm really enjoying it a lot. And the main character is like a masked mercenary who never talks. Now, that sounds fucking stupid to me.
Masked mercenary who never talks. So it's silent protagonist.
Yeah, silent protagonist, but he's like this mercenary who like never shows his face. He has like, he's like meant to have no personality, basically. And you're like, oh, this sucks. But then what happens is through the dialogue choices and just kind of the plot, it winds up being that like you can really make him kind of like ruthless. And I was like, that's kind of interesting, actually. You're not able to like totally deviate, but you can be pretty like hardcore of a mercenary, which normally in those games you're always like kind of a heart of gold, you know, like you wind up being more like the nice guy who always does right by everyone. This time you can be like, do whatever you fucking want, like I don't care. Like, and it's just like, should we let this person in the party? It's like, whatever. Like responses like that where you're just like, I literally don't care, I'm just a mercenary. And
sure.
I'm like, that's kind of cool. That's not something they had before. And you have a lot of dialogue choices and they seem almost entirely cosmetic, just like letting you kind of tailor the character one way or the other.
Yeah.
I don't know. It doesn't feel as binary, which I like.
That's cool.
Yeah. And there's something else. Oh, Dishonored. I'm almost at the end of my, like, second or third playthrough.
Good guy, bad guy?
I went, like, hardcore, like, sneaking, but no kills. And I haven't had a problem at all.
Oh, okay.
I've just been having, like, so much fun. And yeah, I've been using my powers more, which the first time I tried to like be too like, you know, consolidate and stuff, I'll do stuff where I just like freeze time and like, you know, go up and like knock out like five guys at once and like put them different places. And it's just like, this is the greatest game in the world. Like, I love this. It's really a lot of fun on like a, you know, second or third playthrough.
Nice.
I was really shocked. It's also been a long time.
Yeah.
We're still going here.
We're spinning some wheels before our guest gets here.
Yep, yep.
No text from our guest?
Nope.
And let's be clear, this is not our guest's fault. And you know what?
It's the CTA's fault.
It's the CTA's fault. But there's a couple things we can and maybe even should talk about. Pokemon Go is all fucking buggy and people are pissed at it.
Oh,
have you heard about this?
Yeah, apparently now the location or the tracking thing is like out.
And people want their money back that they've spent, but come on guys, why'd you spend money on Pokemon Go?
One does wonder.
Right.
Refund the time that I spent on it.
Right?
Is probably what they mean, but they can't do that.
But
so
then Niantic can go like, hey man, you burned a lot of calories playing this goddamn game.
Yeah. No, but that's crazy. Do you think it's going to be a thing of like,
I think it has,
this wound up being way more flash in the pan than it seemed at first.
I think it's going to lose. It's going to get a pretty big drop off, but it's got enough of a base that, do we just hear back from our guest?
Nope.
Oh, okay.
Just checking.
It's got enough of a base that I would not be surprised if it made $20,000 a day on the low end when it starts tapering off for the next couple of years.
Yeah.
And that's a bummer
right.
to think about that. Yeah. There's people out there spending that amount of money, but
man, they are.
Yeah.
All the time. I don't understand. I never will, too.
No,
I really try to get into their heads.
Yeah.
I just don't know what it's like.
I've never done a microtransaction myself. Folks, we also, before the show started. Just
turns
in case...
out we wanted to talk about video games even before we got onto the podcast. That's what nerds we are.
Yes. Before our guest got here, we were like, well, what can we do if our guest does not get here? I read an article about this wonderful new show called the Final Games Podcast, where they talk about the 8 games you would take to a deserted island. And because Clayton has been into JRPGs on account of I Am Setsuna lately, we talked about the JRPGs we'd take on a desert island. Do you want to go back and forth one to one until our guest gets here?
Let's do it, Tim. I'm totally fine with that.
How about this? Let's say Suikoden 2 is off the table, because that's just a given for the two of us.
That's some garbage.
It's harsh,
but all right, man.
But...
oof. I respect that, but man, I don't have to like it, you know.
You want
to
start off?
Yeah, I will go with Final Fantasy IV.
Final? Oh, 4?
Yeah, which is 2 in the American version.
Yes.
The one with Cecil.
Now, why go 4 over 6?
The reason why is because 4 was the one I first, like, got introduced to.
Yes.
Final Fantasy on.
I remember
playing, like, the first one that came to the U.S. a little bit. At my friend's house. Did you ever play that one?
I did. I was about to say, it feels like the first Final Fantasy game that operates with a workable story. And it's a good one, too.
It's fantastic.
The other ones are like, there's 4 crystals and you gotta save them or whatever.
Yeah. It was like this interesting thing that, like, so many games and shows are trying to do now, which is like... sort of like reason out why this is the thing that you should be doing. Because in the previous games, you know, it's like Mario got coins, you know, like fucking Luke picked up heart containers Link. Luke Skywalker picked up heart containers and SNES.
To be fair, Luke did pick up heart containers in his game.
He probably did. I honestly don't remember. And the Final Fantasy characters, like, got crystals.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know why. No one knew why. They just, that was the thing they got, right?
Yeah.
And so it was like, they were trying to be like, why did they get crystals though? By 4, it's like, now we need to have a cohesive reason why you would want to get crystals.
And
like,
maybe our characters can kind of seem different from one another.
Exactly. Yeah. Maybe we should, like, for these different jobs, they could have, like, also
personalities.
Yeah,
right.
It's like, the 50s, it's like, you know what? I'm not just my job, you know, like that sort of shit. But it's really, and not only did all that come together, but also a lot of the battle system really started to click. Like having the 2 rows of characters, like your front row, back row, all that stuff goes back to Final Fantasy IV. And I love it so much, Tim. You have no idea.
It
has so much nostalgia for me. And it also is like a story I genuinely am like really compelled by. So, yeah, I love that game. I'd totally take that to a desert island.
Yeah.
First one off the top of my head. Other than another one, which is Suikoden 2. Go ahead, Tim.
Boy, I want to pick one that's not Final Fantasy now. Because in my mind, I have such a rigid, like...
You're 6 all the way, right?
No. Oh, man, that's so tough.
Because I'm not 10, even thinking. Yeah.
I love 9. I love... I guess I love 7. It's basically just not 8, I guess is what I'm saying.
Yeah, 7... 7 is so polarizing,
yes.
I found.
Yeah.
It used to be like, everyone was like, 7's the best.
I feel like 7 operates on a nostalgic level more than a mechanics level. But let's go with a different studio that made it. Man. Okay. Boy, this is tough.
Oh, dude.
Man, I'm really stressing out here.
I know exactly what you should pick.
Okay, does Tactics count? Because that's a strategy RPG.
But it's a JRPG.
It's a JRPG.
In so many other ways, it is.
Okay.
I think, maybe.
I'll go with Final Fantasy Tactics. Sorry, I'm upset because it was between that and Wild Arms, but I don't feel like Wild Arms deserves the desert island treatment. Wild Arms is fun. It's colorful. It's
satisfying in a way. Yeah. I remember playing Wild Arms 2, I think, and being like,
okay.
You know what? This is pretty good.
Yeah, it's not bad for a non-Final Fantasy, for all we complain about Final Fantasy on the show.
Yeah, Jesus.
It's the standard bear, and Final Fantasy Tactics was just one of the best. And you can really, like, the grinding doesn't feel that much like grinding in that game. It's fun. And specifically to customize your guy. So you have like a knight who can teleport and use 2 swords and shit like that.
Yeah, that's where they really got into the idea of like the jobs have like specific abilities that you can swap out. And that again, I feel like that wasn't really the case before that.
Yeah.
It's like dual class kind of system. I mean, there was, but not in that specific amount of detail.
Right, yeah.
You know, in Baldur's Gate, it'd be like, you're a fighter and you're a thief, and you get like limited access to both things.
Yes.
Here it was like truly, go buck wild. If you fight enough people, you can make, like a fucking... like crazy, like badass knight who just teleports around the map and like kills people with lightning, and you're like, "What the fuck? Like this is insane."
So I'd probably go with that one. Clayton, hit us with another.
Okay, I gotta say it. I thought you might say it. Chrono Trigger.
Yeah, oh, Jesus, how could I forget about that one?
Chrono Trigger, man. It's
gotta go with that Chrono Trigger.
I know it's another like SNES game, but. God damn. I remember like my stomach hurting when I would think about choices I made in that game.
You
like,
talking about killing Magus or whatnot?
Not quite even that. It was the trial, actually.
Oh, I get that.
Which the first time you play through that, especially as a kid who like was terrified of getting in trouble.
Sure.
Like it upset me so much. I was like, oh my God.
Like, that jury that makes like weird noises. Whenever
yeah.
You, yeah.
Right. And it also judges you based on what you do in the first encounter with a
don't eat that lunch, you guys. Don't eat that lunch.
Yep. And not just that, because I didn't even do that. It was the stuff where you start like pulling her away from like the candy
wait booth. While she shops for candy, you guys. There's a timer.
I didn't know that. Yeah, I'm a little kid. I'm like, what the fuck?
Or what else? Don't grab her pendant. Help her up first.
Yeah. Help her up and then get the pendant.
Yeah.
Do save the kitten.
Do save the kitten.
Gato, beat Gato, but it's not related. Just
yeah,
the song is hilarious.
Yeah, right.
I am Gato. I have metal joints. Beat me up.
I played it probably a year and a half ago. Still great.
It's still great. And, yeah. Oh man, but yeah, like it would just drive me nuts. Like it's like, oh man, I really did feel like that was a game where stuff I did mattered and had consequences early on. And then when it goes nuts and it's like. We're now opening you up. You got any timeline you want. Like, you have a fucking airship. You can do whatever you want. And the end of the game is basically like, well, here's some people in trouble, but you know what you have to do.
Yeah.
Like, you could have done it at any time. And it's like, oh, shit, yeah. We got to get on with the show. It's the best. I love that. The open-endedness, like, the feel of it. Just, it was so imaginative and cool, too, on top of that.
Yeah.
Though, I was talking about this recently with Nicole. Do you think it kind of gets, like, after you beat Magus and you complete Frog's story, do you think it kind of is, like, after that, is it worth playing again?
Well, I would say this. I think the 1000 AD world is probably my favorite.
Yeah.
It's the weird Zeal. Magic. Zeal is, even though you don't get to spend a ton of time there, it's the most, like, it's the most interesting aesthetic of any of the worlds, and it's got a cool story. But I would say this, the story really snowballs after that Magus fight.
Yeah.
It's a shorter game than people remember it. You can beat it in like 20 or 30 hours.
Yeah, it's really... That's true.
Yeah.
I also forget that like... Yeah, where do you really even... All you do is discover Zeal. But then like... Oof.
That dude traps you out of... And then you got to go get your flying ship.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And you know the big one... It's like a huge spoiler if people haven't played it before.
Chrono dies. He really
the
dies.
The main character is killed. Yeah, and there's like, that's it. And it's like, no. It's unreal. And it's so cool and so like dramatic and fucked up because you're all like trapped by Lavos and Chrono just goes up to it to like try to fight more.
Yeah.
And it's like, this thing is basically God, okay? Like you can't, you're not going to be able to do anything. And he doesn't flinch. He like doesn't move away. He just dies for everyone else to live. It's like, this is the fucking greatest moment of my life. I was so happy when I was like, I mean, not happy. I was sad. Yeah. But then, I'm getting emotional, Tim. Just talking about Chrono Trigger. That's why I like Aim Setsuna so much. It reminds me so much of that world.
Yeah.
Yeah. Though without, it's too bad you don't get the time travel. That's the only thing.
I hear, bro.
What about you, Tim? What's your next one? You're really concentrating hard.
I might... Let's talk about handhelds. The one that comes to mind, we were just talking about Pokemons, but there's good Pokemon out there in the RPG fashion. I might go with one of the most recent DS Pokemons because those were a joy to play.
Oh, yeah?
I don't even know what color we're talking about.
That's
Pokemon,
the problem. I'm like, I don't remember what any of them
gold
are.
Gold or silver, but I played one for Nintendo DS, and that was... It's the one where... The main villain at the beginning is like, we shouldn't be trapping Pokemon and making them fight one another. And you as a player are like, yeah, you're totally right. He's not wrong.
Yeah. But then it's kind of fucked up. Yeah.
But then
he's like an environmentalist.
Yes.
Yeah.
But I guess your argument is, but it's fun.
No way, old man.
No.
Can't tell me what to do.
Right.
It's like, no, this isn't like dancing in the Footloose town. Like, there's actual victims here.
Yeah, right? Even if they're having a great time. But I feel like as far as we talk about the serotonin release of collecting things in video games, like, Pokemon was the original that for me. So I'd probably go with like a DS Pokemon entry. A gold or a silver or something like that.
I think that's totally fair. I'm not very well versed in Pokemon, to be honest.
You didn't grow up with it?
Not really.
Gotcha.
The big thing for me was always like, I wanted to play it, but it was on Game Boy. And I didn't have a Game Boy.
Oh, gotcha.
Yeah. So I think I just kind of like didn't ever sync up with it. I played like a little bit here and there and been like, okay, cool. But yeah, it's like, I think I played it when it was like, it already had been copied by other games that I played. So it didn't feel like original like it did the first time.
Sure.
But man, oh man. Like, I remember playing Ni No Kuni and being like, this is fucking so cool.
God, I forgot that Ni No Kuni
is basically a Pokemon game.
Should be a JRPG on this list.
Hmm.
Yeah.
I probably wouldn't put it on this list.
I wouldn't either.
Yeah.
It was fun. But, like, do we have such high standards for JRPG now or something? Like, it's a great game.
Something in recent history has gone wrong with a lot of JRPGs. I don't know what it is, but I don't like it.
So you're playing I Am Setsuna. That's
which is definitely a JRPG.
Of course. And it hits the nostalgia tingles that we've talked about.
Yes.
Surprisingly
well for a totally original game.
But and we've talked about this before. Maybe there's something outdated about like the system of playing a JRPG. Like, you play Skyrim and you hit a button and your arm just moves the sword as opposed to hitting a word that says fight or whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe there's something about, hey.
Hey, Peter Caminas.
Peter, thank you for joining us.
Hello.
We were talking on the while you were coming over here. We have two options for you.
Mm-hmm.
We're in the midst of a hardcore JRPG discussion.
Oh,
if you have any thoughts, you can join us on that. Otherwise, we can absolutely talk about puzzle games, which was our topic for today.
Ooh, either one of those are good. I'm more equipped to talk about puzzle games. Because the only JRPG I've ever really been into is the Final Fantasy series.
We were talking quite a bit about some Final Fantasy.
What's your favorite?
What's your favorite,
Final
Peter?
Yeah. Before we jump off JRPGs.
It was 7 for a long time. And then I played 9 recently.
Really?
And that one's really good.
It's very good.
It's really good. It's old school kind of ethos
and
design and everything. I like that a lot. I'm really looking forward, like, cautiously optimistic about
to
15.
The new one. Yes.
You know.
We are worried but excited at the same time.
Yeah. I at this point I'm more just like, I don't even care. Like, either way, whatever. Like, I don't even know if I'll wind up playing it, which sucks because I used to love that series.
It looks pretty in the trailers.
It does. It looks like the combat system looks good.
Yeah.
I saw something online that said that they extrapolated from the little bit they knew about the map and said it was like bigger than Skyrim and GTA 5 and all this stuff combined.
So it's open world?
Yeah.
Okay. I'm playing open world Final Fantasy.
Because, you know, 13, clop, clop.
Right.
Clop, clop the game.
God, I hated that game so much. I don't even think I lasted like 2 hours in that game, which is really, I usually try to give it the old college try, but this one I was like, I am so happy I'm not playing this game.
I powered through that because I kept hearing like, oh, well, once you get to this certain part, it really opens up and it's great. And it turns out that's like 80% of the way through the game.
Yeah.
and then it's kind of more open world and there's some side quests and stuff. But
But come on, you can't make us play for that long.
Ooh. Speaking of JRPGs, have you guys played Persona 4. 5 is the one's coming out next.
I played Persona 4 a lot of it. I never got the chance to finish it, but I loved what I played of it.
Yeah.
Yeah. Fascinating game. Boy, that's another one I should have brought to the island.
Yeah.
We were talking about which ones you'd bring to an island.
Man, people are at home screaming, why? Why aren't we going to learn what the other games were? Oh, yeah, no.
And you know what? Here's a cross section between puzzle games and JRPGs. Have you played Catherine?
I've not played Catherine.
No.
I've heard such cool
what
things about it.
What in the fuck is that game? Have is you it not? You trying to cheat on your girlfriend? Is that what it is?
Well, you have that choice.
Oh, no.
It's like the game is it's a dating sim, and you're a guy who has a nightmare, and you have to solve these puzzles to survive every night.
And these are hard, from what I understand.
Yeah,
right?
yeah. They're pretty hard puzzles, but it's a really cool puzzle mechanic where, like, you pull out the blocks, and they only will stay if there's a ledge next to them, and there's different types of blocks you have to climb.
Yeah,
and it's that was not an adequate explanation, but the like, but it is really cool. And then at the end of it, well, you know what? I don't want to give away the ending.
Play Catherine, everybody.
Yeah, play Catherine.
Not me, man. Weirds me out. It's too much. I was like, I don't think I can.
Peter, what have you been playing lately?
I just, for fun, I played the latest Infamous game recently.
Oh, Second Son.
Yeah. I liked it. I thought, you know, it was all right.
I liked it, yeah.
Especially for a launch title.
Sure.
You know, it's fun. There's a lot to do. I finished it, and I was like, all right, yeah. It's pretty good game. Which is kind of how I've felt about the other Infamous games too. Just like,
I really liked two, at least the gameplay of it.
Yeah,
that was a lot of fun. It really feels like a superhero game. I've heard really good things about Second Son, and the graphics apparently are pretty great too.
Yeah, they really are. It really showcases like all the different powers. Like you can like the power of neon, which looks
God, I love that. Yeah,
it looks really good.
I might have to go back and play that game again. I'm just remembering, like, he's got the smoke powers.
Yeah.
I think he gets, like, cement powers at one point. He gets all sorts of crazy shit.
Neon, and then there's, like, and then video power.
Oh, that's right.
That's a thing?
Yeah. And it all looks really cool. So, like, for video power, you, like, shoot pixels at guys or, like, or turn invisible. Because video. These are, like.
Yeah.
But it's cool.
Is it as crazy plot-wise as the other two?
Probably. Yeah,
okay.
I think so.
I think you start out in like a Native American reservation where you were raised, and it's like, okay, what are you doing, game? Like, what's happening?
I mean, it has that, like, a lot of the stylistic choices are something that you see a lot in games.
Sure.
Where it's like, hey, this is pretty cool, kids, right? You know, like, like the protagonist is a graffiti artist.
Yeah.
Yes.
He makes stuff that's kind of like Banksy.
Wears a beanie.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. You know, has a chain around his wrist.
Sure.
It's real cool, man.
Yeah. I'm like, what generation is this guy?
Oh, boy.
Like, where's he supposed to slot in?
It's like, oh, I got to
take these
out.
Skater punks. It's like, what? Like,
that would be super cool to like a Gen Xer. I totally get that. Yeah.
What a kid's like. Pokemon. We should put Pokemon they can catch in Infamous.
We were just talking
playing
about
Pokemon Go on his phone in the game.
Yeah,
that's gonna like be in like what's that be in like Watch Dogs
oh,
2
I'm sure.
or some shit.
Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
We were just talking about the backlash people are having right now in Pokemon Go. Were you a player?
Oh yeah, I mean I'm still playing it.
Sure.
I mean it's just I don't know, when I'm like walk most places I go. I just put it in my pocket and walk and hatch eggs. It's a passive game.
Yes.
You know?
Right.
So it's, there's like some backlash against it, but there's backlash against everything that becomes popular.
Yeah.
Well, the current thing is the lack of tracking, right?
Oh,
in the newest update.
There's a problem with the distance as far as how far you have to go with monsters or something like that. I don't know. I mean, I haven't gotten that into it, but I know what you mean. It is a wonderful casual game.
Oh yeah.
Like you don't have to be a big gamer to get into this.
Not at all.
Yeah. Right.
It's super easy. And it's just like, you know, like swipe your finger. Mm-hmm. Here's a, you know, it's it's all good fun.
Now we were going to talk about, some of these, I don't know, maybe a trend lately of like weird dark puzzle games.
Okay.
Your examples were The Witness and the Talos Principle, right?
Yeah. The Talos Principle, I only started playing. The Witness is great.
Yeah.
That is a great game.
Which everything I've heard about it says it doesn't have like a plot per se.
No.
it's just the practice of doing these puzzles.
Yes, and also
solid
and,
yes and
yeah.
It's an improv joke for people listening at home. Joke about improv.
I saw the Mike Birbiglia movie. I'm sorry.
Let's
not talk about it. Moving back.
I'm afraid to watch that. I have to watch it alone in the dark. The Witness, though, it's no, there is no plot to it. You show up, and the game kind of teaches you, not through tutorials, how to play it.
On like an island?
Yeah.
Okay.
It's an island, and there's there's different types of puzzles, different mechanics you need to figure out, and they get very difficult. But it's also just full of secrets. And I was reading an article about it, which I thought just totally summed up what I loved about this game. And it's like it's from the guy who made Braid.
Yeah.
You know? And he's accused of being like pretentious and stuff, but I love all the pretension in his games. I love it. Like the it's not a plot, but the message of the game is like the medium of the game is the message, which
yes.
is like kind of discovery. You discover that it's not just these puzzles on little screens that you need that you can solve, but there's also ones in the environment where like you can, because the only thing you can do in the game is there's like a little dot and you can move it around and then press X to like start and then move it around to finish the puzzle. And you can do that in things in the environment. Like, it's like, oh, that looks, it's like a circle, then a line kind of attached to it. And then you do that, and there are these obelisks all over the island, and, you know, I haven't finished all those. I ended up beating the game, which made me go like, yeah, because it's pretty difficult. But there's also, like, you might find a piece of paper on, like, some random door that combines a bunch of different puzzle elements, and then when you solve that puzzle, the door opens, and there's just a piece of paper in there with a pattern on it. And if you're able to, like, click, like, oh, that kind of looks like this shape that I couldn't solve underneath this windmill.
What?
You know? And then you go in, and then, like, I took a picture of it with my phone. Like, you go in, and then, like, put the puzzle in that shape, and then, like, a video will play. It could be, like, 10 minutes long. And one of them is, it's like, it is just Carl Sagan talking about the universe. Or it's like the ending, like one of them is like the ending to this existentialist abstract German movie.
The Extra Credit guys did a video about the what they think the plot of The Witness is, and that's the moment that they talk about as being key to I guess their theory of understanding it anyways, which is that I don't know, there's a sense of it just being about existence.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And reality, and then discovering that. Like, the process of the game is like one of the, you know, most common things you'll hear about that game is that not only it's like it'll make you feel like an idiot, but eventually you'll feel like a genius. Like, because you'll figure it out. You know, it's like trial and error, which is, you know, like exactly how people work scientifically. And then there's like little things in the game. Like, you might discover this little corner where someone was drawing at some point. And it's pictures of, like, all these branches and then pictures of, like, the human nervous system. And then you look at them together, you're like, oh, trees kind of look like the human nervous system. That's interesting. Oh, like, our DNA is, what, like, 30, 40% tree, something like that? I don't know. And so it's, yeah. I thought it was great. I love stuff like that. So, yeah.
And then with the Talos Principle, correct me if I'm wrong, is that about, because I've only watched trailers, is that about robots?
Yeah, it also has like a philosophical bent to it, and a lot, and it's a lot more obvious. I haven't beaten it
yet,
but it's like, you know, you're a robot, and it's about like, you know, there's like, you know, Cartesian, how do we know anything, and is any of this real type of thing. But it's like, no, okay, yeah, no, I remember that class, and then like, but the puzzles are very good. Yeah. There's cool mechanics to the puzzle, and they do get sufficiently difficult. So yeah,
it's funny to me because I played what have I played recently? The Swapper, which we talked about.
Love that game.
Yeah.
And my girlfriend I took her through The Unfinished Swan, if you've played that.
I've started it before.
Sure. I guess that qualifies as a puzzle game.
I think so.
Or puzzle shooter? I don't know.
I've never seen a game like that.
Yeah. For people who are unfamiliar, in The Unfinished Swan, you are living in like a landscape or a canvas, and you throw paint around from your being, I guess.
Yeah.
And through that, the world takes shape.
Oh, I thought it was just like vomiting black in the world. Just going around.
Dude, it's a vomiting blood game.
It was really, I considered it very morbid. Because the whole world is just white. You can't see anything, but once you throw the paint on, then the world takes shape. Yeah.
Yeah. And yeah, that one's about loss and accepting loss. And Swapper is like a dark sci-fi game once you get to the end of it. And it's funny to me that puzzle game, because my origin of puzzle games is like playing Tetris on the Game Boy.
Right.
You don't think of them having these dark overtones, but they lend themselves well in terms of like feeling like you don't have any power, you know, or you're not smart enough. I assume specifically with The Witness or...
Yeah, I'd say so.
Yeah.
There's another great puzzle game in the same vein as The Swapper called The Fall. Have you guys played that?
No.
I've not.
That's where you're the AI of like a battle suit and your pilot, like the guy in the suit, is injured.
Yeah.
And you crash land on a station and you're trying to get him medical assistance. So you're running, you're doing all these things, but you have to like be careful of like the human inside you.
Oh, wow.
It's really cool. Yeah, definitely worth checking out. Another dark sci-fi. It looks a lot like The Swapper, too.
Speaking of dark sci-fi, this is like I started several games at once, so I'm still halfway through this, but Soma.
Ooh, yeah.
Soma's really good.
I've heard about it. What's Soma?
That's by the guys who made Amnesia, The Dark Descent.
Oh.
Yeah.
And you're like, it's very, very strange.
Yeah.
Like you're trapped in some sort of underwater facility, and everything's like caving in around you. It's a lot like BioShock almost, but it's more of like a survival horror. So you're just trying to sneak by robots for a lot of it.
And during the game, all these things come up. It's there's not a lot you can say without giving a bunch of stuff away.
Yeah, I'm trying not to say anything.
Because the first thing that happens is you go into some medical facility so they can scan your brain for something, you know?
Yeah.
Like it's like you're this character who may have some disease, and they scan it, and then everything's gone awry, and you're like, what's going on here? And then you discover slowly what that is.
Why'd you go to that hospital under the sea?
Yeah, it's just like
the insurance.
It's a real world one. And then suddenly
it feels like you get into the game, and it's like, what the fuck?
Oh.
Like, yeah. It's super creepy, super weird. Like, deals a lot of, what is humanity, those kinds of questions.
Yeah, absolutely.
Which
I think...
It's creepy.
And that's cool because that, like, we're at a point where games are doing that, because there's something about, and now, like, bringing it back to The Witness, is that specifically the process of playing the game can relay that message in a way that a film or a song or a painting could not,
as opposed to just like saying it through dialogue or something like that. Yeah,
because you have the experience of discovery when you play The Witness. You have the series of like eureka moments.
I
love that. The idea that the gameplay is telling you the story, not the characters or the subtitles or anything like that. Or like reading through like the millions of books in Skyrim or whatever. Like, that's not how the story is told.
And that's like, okay, I started reading this book recently called Amusing Ourselves to Death by Neil Postman. And it's a media critique book. But how he starts out, and I also haven't finished this, but the...
finish some of these things.
I just want to taste everything just a little.
Hey, man, no judgment here. Some people, they want the story to go on forever in their minds, you know?
I'm like, oh, cool, a hobbit. All right, what's this? Oh, man, that guy throws parties. Hey, what's... All right. So,
is that the beginning of Lord of the Rings?
I switched from The Hobbit to The Great Gatsby. It was
that's even better.
Very quickly.
I thought it was the 111th birthday or whatever. Anyway, what are we doing? what is this podcast again, Tim?
I believe it's...
Hello from the Magic
Thank you so much. It's me, Adil Rafai.
His name is Chunt on that show.
I don't know, man.
I'm just playing.
We were going to say something.
I was talking about Neil Postman's book.
There it is.
Yeah,
and,
yeah.
And he talks about how, and his critique of media starts on like how a televised news system, he's talking about how the medium is the message. There's a certain way to understand news through televised that is not as understood. Like, there's certain lessons you don't glean. Like, there's a bit less critical thought that comes when you aren't reading the news. Mm. You know, like, taking the time to do that. And he explains that much better than I just did. The medium is the message, you know, before clocks, you know, like, minutes, seconds, hours, and stuff. If it weren't for clocks, I'd never be late. I'd just be there around the right time. But,
right.
You know, today. and so then you apply that to games. You know, first it's like little sprites moving on a screen, like hand-eye coordination. And then we've got to the point where it's like, oh, through this medium of gameplay, we've already had some really cool stories that could only be told through that medium. Like, I think The Last of Us or like Bioshock Infinite. Yeah. Like when you're in control of it. And then The Witness is doing that. Like, it's like, well, I have something to say, and I want to talk about this, but I'd rather you just experience this. And, yeah, so it's a different thing because it's experiential.
Right.
Experiential art.
Yeah.
Oh.
There's a little bit also of, like, figuring things out in games that doesn't necessarily, I don't know, like, other mediums don't have that. You know, like, you can't, you have to tell them. You can't, there's literally no way for them to find out unless you just tell them.
Yeah.
That's like, if it's not written in the book, how am I supposed to fucking know?
Yeah.
But in the game, it's like, it's in there, but you might not see it, you know? Or you might not read that book or whatever it is.
Yeah.
Bioshock Infinite reminds me of that a little bit because there's certain pieces of like Columbia, the world, where like when you're there, you'll read about like, oh, or listen to the audio tapes because that's how that they get over that hump of making people read. and so you're listening to it while you're walking around and you can put together like, oh, why do they know all these songs? Oh, because this character
that's my
was
favorite
this guy like that
plot.
Stuff.
Yeah.
Absolutely no bearing on the main story and so easy to miss if you miss like one of those audio like logs or whatever.
Oh,
I love it.
Oh, I got all I platinumed that game. I played it so much. I was bound and determined. Like, all the best games I play, like, I'll get the platinum trophy for them.
It's also a game where, like, cosmetic choices come in a way that feel important.
Mm-hmm.
That I just am like, that's so cool. Because it makes you think, like, oh, this decision means a lot. And it's like, no, it fucking doesn't.
Like, Bird and Cage or...
Yeah, like Bird and Cage, or if you pull the gun on the guy or get stabbed in the hand in that one scene.
Yeah.
It's you'll put that scarf around your hand and it'll be there the rest of the game.
Yeah.
It's like, oh, cool choice. Wait, but you don't have it doesn't matter.
Yeah. There weren't serious consequences to it. That's interesting. I know Soma does the first thing you were talking about really well too. You know, like in this place where you are, there's old emails. And stuff like that. And just, I love stuff like that that can, like, flesh out the world.
Yeah, seeing, like, characters are dating that you wouldn't think about.
And just, like, it just supplements the story.
You should, if you like that, Dishonored does that. I'm in my, like, third playthrough of that. Have you played that before?
Yeah.
That does that so well.
Yeah.
Like, I forget about, like, some of the rich little details. Like, I walked downstairs and saw one of the guys in the Resistance spying on one of the girls while she's taking a bath. And you could like walk up and be like, what the fuck are you doing? I was like, I had no idea that was there. Third playthrough, I think, of this game. I'd never done that before.
That's interesting. Yeah. Just the little things. The little things are what make it so great.
Oh, you were mentioning the little things. When you talk about like coming across papers in game or something like that.
Yeah. Papers, please.
Fuck no, I'm not doing it. Ever.
My mom turned out of that game and she
into
loves
papers,
it.
Papers, please.
Yeah, because she loves like she was playing like Candy Crush and all this stuff, and I was like, Mom, I think you because it's just a
what a hard turn.
Yeah, no, it is. I was like, it's just like the game is you're trying to figure out these details and you let certain people. And she's like, well, okay, Pete, I'll try it. And like she, and she loves it. She
Tim.
Loves it.
Has tried so many times. He thinks the game's too hard.
Well, I don't want to have to memorize these goddamn cities that don't exist.
Yeah. Yeah. You gotta I had to keep checking the pamphlet. I'm like, it's like issuing city. Oh, shit, is that a real city? Is that an issuing city? So
that's part, like,
my
part
family
of me...
died of illness.
And that's a whole ending. Your family dying of illness.
Yeah. Yeah. I had another ending where, like, if you help the resistance, they catch you. Mm-hmm. Like, then the other, you don't help the resistance, they just don't like you.
Yeah.
I don't know, there's a bunch of different endings.
And that's all super fascinating, but yeah. I don't have the patience of your mother to go through and do that game. But I was going to say...
little things.
Well, yeah, little things like going through and reading the papers of the relationships of people in games. I can't do that anymore. Like, you talk about the experiential stuff. Like, if I can just see that or something like that, but, like, if I'm in a survival horror game and I see a bunch of entries of written notes, I can't read them.
Yeah.
Even Skyrim, like I did a little bit of reading in Skyrim, but I certainly couldn't sit down and read one of those goddamn novels.
Well, that's the thing. Yeah. But that was sort of Peter's original point, which I like, is the idea of like the gameplay being like the way to convey the medium. What's an example of that for you, Tim?
Oh, the gameplay Journey.
Ooh, good one.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely.
Not a puzzle game, but like. The your avatar, whatever it is in Journey, doesn't have to say like I'm dying, or like I'm on the ruins of this city. You don't have to get it through dialogue. You see these beautiful portraits and this landscape, and you sort of piece together what happened.
Yeah. And I loved the multiplayer element of that game is so simple,
and it's such a great experience in and of itself.
Yeah.
The extra credit guys did a whole thing about Journey, didn't they?
Yeah, it's, I don't know, it's cool. I mean, you interact with a stranger in that game much like you interact with most strangers. You just, like, they're just kind of there, and then, like, you might make a sound, and they hear it. But you're still, like, going through the same thing together, which
and,
is, like,
I had a friend on an occasion. She was over at our house, and my girlfriend and her were playing Journey, and someone came into the game. And she's like, "Who is this?" And it's like, "Oh, it's just some guy." And she's like, "How do I kill him?" Immediately. And I'm like, that's what's so great about it. You know, the idea of, like, you can't do that.
She
like,
gets it.
You're supposed to work together.
Yeah,
right.
It's so funny. Or at least leave each other alone. You know, yeah, like at the very least.
And that's, like, people talk about video games encouraging violence and stuff. Whenever you look at, like, there's a lot of games, like, I know the Walking Dead game, the Telltale Games one does this, where it's like they, and a lot of different games, where they tell you, like, how many people made what choice. Most people make the choice to do the right thing.
We always go into those games wanting to be the best person.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And then in Journey, like, there have been times I've played it where just this stranger who I can never know who they are.
Yeah.
Is just like goes like woo woo, and like you, which I guess I just surmise is like follow me, and then just comes through and like shows me where the secrets are.
Yeah, right? Yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
And it's just like, oh, like they're just getting something out of that. They just want to do that.
Yeah,
you know,
they're the like more experienced. Yeah. You know, like I'm gonna guide you.
Yeah,
like which you know that's a funny idea in that game of like, oh, there's others who are going on this journey too.
Yeah,
and they can help you. You can help them. Yeah, you know, I love that stuff.
Who've been on this journey?
Another. My biggest example, I know I've talked about this on the podcast before, is Dark Souls.
Oh.
Because in Dark Souls, they convey so much about that world through the gameplay. How tired your character is when they like swing a big weapon.
Yeah.
You know, you never feel tough. You always feel like I'm just scraping by, and that's how it's supposed to feel.
Yeah, absolutely. And that totally goes in with like the completely rundown world.
Exactly.
Full of like the NPCs. Like every NPC you meet is just like, oh, another jet. Yeah. You
they
know,
all
like,
sound so tired.
There's like no cool, fun NPC.
Well, there's that Onion Knight guy.
Oh, sure.
Who my girlfriend Nicole loves. What's that guy's name? Oh, fuck.
There is just the Onion Knight. That might just be his name.
He's something of Katarina. He's just like, he's like, bully for you. Time for a nap. And he's just the funniest fucking guy. I love him so much.
Oh, yeah. Fantastic game. And I also think Bioshock Infinite is a good example of, because, you know, well, I hope we've all played it by now, but the idea of like parallel universes.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And how that works in, you know, the original game, the original Bioshock. And it's just, you know, it's, oh, it all starts at the lighthouse.
Man.
The idea being like, oh, like, it's all these different parallel universes of these BioShock games.
You know? The end of that game, my jaw was just like on the floor when when you teleport, and it's like, whoa, are you fucking, oh my God. Like,
yeah.
I couldn't believe it.
Yeah.
It made me feel like, well, how could they possibly do another BioShock game now? Like, how do you get grander than that?
Yeah. But, and then they did the DLC. Did you guys play that?
No, I didn't play it.
Yeah. It's okay. It's the first one, I think, is pretty good. The second one has its moments, but kind of falls flat because it's one of those like prequel one. It's kind of stupid.
It's a parallel. It's a parallel universe. Like, they could have done DLC for that forever.
Yeah,
you know, because like, what's her name? Catherine from BioShock, is that her name?
Oh no,
Elizabeth.
Elizabeth. Yeah.
Yeah, it's like Elizabeth in a different world.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, oh, you know what? It actually is. Is it a prequel to the original BioShock?
It kind of is, yeah. Oh. Which is really dumb.
Cause
that tie-in is, I think, kind of useless. But
yeah, because when the game starts out, like, you're in, because you're also Booker DeWitt, because you play as him there, and that yeah, and like at the beginning, you get to be there when before everything just went crazy.
Oh wow!
So it's kind of cool.
So that that part I love.
So, like, Rapture when it was at its best?
Yeah.
Oh.
Like, the night, I think the night of the party.
Ah, gotcha.
Yeah, the Halloween party or whatever. Or the New Year's party. I forget what it was.
The original BioShock 2. The idea is just, would you kindly?
And it's just,
you just keep doing it. Like, you know, and like how the character and you didn't really have a choice in the matter.
A friend of mine, when that game came out, he's like, I didn't like it. And I just stopped playing because I was like, why would I stab myself in the arm with some chemical just because some guy asked me to? And I had finished it, and I was like, oh, man. Wow, I didn't even think about it. Like, I'm just like, whatever, video game. It was like a moment of reason. I'm like, oh, shit. Well, all right.
Speaking of things that you find in the world, one of my favorite things in a game, South Park Stick of Truth.
Oh yeah.
Oh,
was
man.
Like they parody that where it's the professor. He's just like, I just keep making these audio tapes and leaving in places. It doesn't add anything. Why am I doing this? And there's like a whole bunch of them. Like,
yeah, I remember.
It's so
that.
Funny. All the like video game in jokes in that game.
Yeah. BioShock also has one of my favorite audio tapes in any game, which is Su Jung when he slaps a little sister. When he's working on the loyalty bond between her and the Big Daddy and doesn't know how well it's worked, he's like, the little sister won't leave him alone, so he just smacks her, and a Big Daddy fucking gets him with the drill. Ugh, and when you find the tape, it's him holding it with the drill bit in his stomach, and you're like,
up against the wall.
Wow, all right, satisfying end to that piece of shit asshole.
Yeah.
Fuck that guy. And like, he gets killed off camera. It's like, great. I love it.
Also,
I truly, I will come to despise some of the characters when you like hear them, like what's his name? Handsome Jack is kind of that way in Borderlands.
Do you mean you get annoyed by him, or you just hate him?
No, I mean hate, like want to kill.
Yeah, totally,
like,
I get that.
In
the way you do in video games, you're like, oh fuck, I can't wait to take that guy out. You know, like
I felt that way in The Last of Us.
Ooh.
When like
oh Jesus, that guy.
Winter.
Yeah,
that guy,
and that guy who does the voice. That's the same guy who does Nathan Drake.
Is it Nolan North?
Nolan North, yep.
Yeah.
Which I thought was hilarious.
Does a great job in that.
Oh, God. That guy.
And you're just like.
Give it to me. Like, let me get that guy.
Yeah.
I've been, like, I've sworn off video games because at the end I don't get to kill or, like, at least decide the fate of one of those villains, you know? Where, like, they get away at the end, and it's, like, trying to set itself up for a sequel. I'm like, fuck that. No, yeah. I wanted that guy.
Yeah.
You don't get to do that game.
Oh, man. Some people have complained that, you know, they don't give you a choice in whether you kill the surgeon.
I think that's...
Yeah. Oh, I had that problem myself. I just waited until...
I think you can
he comes at me with
something.
The scalpel, and then you have to, like, stick it in his neck, which is awful.
I have a feeling that, like, because I totally, like, as a game player, I 100% get that. But I think it works within the context of the story. And another way of telling stories through games is that this guy, you know, he lost his daughter. He spends this whole year creating this bond with this girl who's, like, his daughter's, well, like, how old she was. And so he would be out of control at that point.
Yeah.
Like, just completely unwilling to lose that again.
Also, guy comes at him with a scalpel. And which is a reasonable response on his part. Think about where he's coming from. Yeah.
And the moment you and I talked about, which really threw us, was at the end.
You thought you were going to get the choice.
Well, it was the woman in the parking garage who just comes up and is like, just please let me live. I'm not even going to take her. I don't want to die. And he's like, nah, sorry.
Yeah, I just can't believe you. Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of my favorite moments in games because it doesn't give you the choice when I thought for sure it would. It's like, you don't have to do this. You don't have to off this woman. And it's like, no, if you're going to do this, you kind of do.
But that's I feel like, the moment where it's like, you can't justify him being a good guy in that moment.
No, he's not. He's so not.
Yes.
And that's what I love about it. And I love how it ends that way. And how I think the creators of the game, they said that like Ellie knows at the end that he's lying.
Right.
That he's just like, no, well, it's just not going to work out. She just kind of looks at him and just goes, okay.
Yeah. Like she's willing to accept it. Yeah.
So or like she has to, and it's because he's right. He's like I'm not willing to save the entire world for this one. Like that's too much. That's too much to pay for it.
Yeah.
Which seems real unreasonable unless you're that guy.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Which that's what I was gonna say too. I'm like, it is fucked up that he kills that woman when he didn't have to, but at the same time, like, it's probably a smart choice if you're that guy, you're like,
if you've already made this choice.
I've come so far. What do I think? You're like more important than the last brain surgeon in the world or whatever.
I mean, the guy went from like he went from like being like a real happy father, like all the, like, and he just, he had given up all hope. Like the whole world fell apart. He lost his daughter. He gave up all hope. And then like, slowly through the game, like he kind of reluctantly, like this relationship just starts occurring. And then by the end of it, like, it's so heavy. And that's why I was like, I get why you have no choice, because that guy would be out of his gourd in that moment.
Yeah.
And think about how that whole game feels. Three guys are a huge threat in that game. What other game do you see three enemies and you're like, oh, no problem, right? Like, that's pretty standard. But in that game, it's like, fuck, I can't. I got like two bullets. And the whole game feels so desperate and so hopeless, Every part of the gameplay, how long it takes to craft stuff, everything.
Yeah, that's the one. That's why I think that is still the best game I've ever played. It ties story elements and world building into gameplay elements exactly how you described.
Yeah,
you're totally right. It is absolutely up there in my mind. It would be so painful to go back and play it again.
I've tried. I really have, but I just can't do it because I know it's coming.
Yeah, I mean, I love the idea that the game company went in and did that like fun DLC for it with the girls playing.
Yeah.
Which I feel like is such a smart move and exactly what the game needs.
Did you ever play that?
I did not. I only watched videos of it.
I honestly could. I was like, I don't think I can do it.
Yeah. You describing it as just this fun thing with girls playing, that's nice.
Oh, shit! it's fucking dark.
And it was originally in the game.
Yeah.
And then they took it out, and I think it was the right, even though it's great, it was the right choice too, because it kind of like, I like the mystery of when winter starts, because it occurs like between when Joel gets hurt and winter.
Yeah.
And instead of winter starting, you're going like, what happened to Joel? Like you know. And I thought it was cool that they were like, no, this is kind of cooler if it's a mystery.
I like that way more, too. Yeah, it's like, is she just on her own?
Yeah.
Is Joel dead? Because he could have been,
Oh, man. That's such a fantastic game.
Yeah.
Dude.
Yeah, if you like that, I think, it was like that and Bioshock Infinite came out the same year.
Yeah.
And I was just like, I can't do it, man. These games are too good now. And since then, I feel like we haven't had a year that touched that height,
Oh, I remember saying, I finished Bioshock Infinite, and I posted on Facebook, like, Bioshock Infinite might be the best game I've ever played. And then, like, a month or two later.
Same here. Yeah.
I was like, well, I'm going to have to change my mind about Bioshock Infinite. this has never happened before, but, I was just blown away by both games.
Man.
Yeah.
You might like Witcher 3.
Oh, I loved Witcher 3.
Oh, okay. Cool.
Yeah. Great game. I have not played Uncharted 4 yet.
Oh,
you should check it out.
It's worth it.
I really want to because of just, you know, because it's Naughty Dog. They made Last of Us, and apparently, like, they incorporated a lot of the lessons from that into that game.
It's worth playing for sure. It's not, I mean, it's not The Last of Us, but it's still great. <All right.
laughs> There's a little too much fun.
Yeah,
for it to be The Last of Us.
You can't swing on a vine in The Last of Us, you know?
Yeah. There's
you can't be like running away from like exploding shit, going like no.
Yeah.
<You know?
laughs>
Shit that he does.
Oh man. And I wish and speaking of games with good great storytelling, I'm like on pins and needles about Red Dead Redemption 2 news.
Oh yeah.
Really we'll
thought we were gonna see that at E3. Yeah. But we were talking on before how Rockstar is a big enough company that they can just release that info whenever they want, and it's going to be a media event when
eventually
comes out.
Yeah.
I mean, if Rockstar tomorrow was like, we have an announcement this afternoon, I mean, all of us would be like, we know what it is. Let's do it, you know?
But there's no way it comes out in 2016, right?
I don't think
it's got to be later than that.
No, there's no way it comes out this year.
Yeah.
I'm amazed at some of the games we are going to get this year. Dishonored 2... When does No Man's Sky come out?
It's coming out in like 8 days.
Yeah, it's the 9th, right?
Yeah, August 8th.
Goodbye, everybody.
Yeah,
I hope.
Everything I read about that game, I'm like in my head, I'm like, there's no way.
Same here.
There's no way it's that.
We are in that camp as well.
Or it's like it sounds like the game you made up when you were 5.
Yeah.
It's like there's like a billion trillion planets and you can go to them. And
you build anything.
You name the animals. And it's just, it's like, that sounds awesome, but there's no.
There
like,
is no way, right? Yeah. But man, I can't wait.
People are going to lose themselves in that.
We don't know what the limits are. We don't know what the gameplay is like. Yeah. What's the story? You have to make it to the center of the universe.
Which apparently you can do in 10 to 12 hours.
Is that right?
That someone get paid like a shit ton of money to get an early release of the game. That's what they're saying.
Okay.
So it's like, that's definitely not the point of the game.
No.
Like, it's like, nope, you can do that. But then, like, you could do whatever you want.
And there's seemingly an evil fleet or something that's trying to stop you.
Yeah.
Right, yeah.
My worry is, because here's the thing. Like, great big open world games and all that stuff, that's great. But if it's really repetitive.
I agree.
Then if there's not much to do in it.
If you're just tagging animals.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's one of the things I thought was great about Skyrim. Actually bringing it back to notes you find somewhere, like my favorite moment in Skyrim was just like I played a character where like I was like I'm just gonna walk or ride horses, I'm not gonna run, because that world is so rich in detail that it's like meant for that. I was smoking a lot of weed at the time, and so like, it was very long
time
ago.
I know anything about that myself.
It's walking, doing a campaign walking through Skyrim really but I just like happened upon a tower, you know, and there's like, it looks like something happened outside of it. This is not a quest that pops up or anything. And you go in and it looks like something went down and you read a note and it's like, something's in the basement. You know, and you fight through and it turns out there's all these like giant bugs that, you know, and you kill the bug's nest and, you know, and there's like letters kind of strewn throughout the tower that kind of tell the story of it. Not a side quest, not, it's just a thing that exists in the game.
Yeah,
you know, and it's just I thought that was so cool, you know, because that's not something that's not the type of side quest you'll find looking on like game FAQs.
yeah,
you know.
Yeah.
Some guy put like hours into that side quest.
Yeah,
or that whatever it is.
Yeah,
you know,
which like which makes you like, oh my god, what are they going to do with you know, Elder Scrolls 6.
It's going to be the best thing.
How do you top? I don't know how you top Skyrim. That game was fantastic. Is fantastic.
Yeah. Well, Peter, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, thank you for having me.
Of course.
It was a very lively discussion.
Yeah.
Yeah, wasn't that fun?
Yeah.
We started at home just like, not bad. I like this one.
Is there anything you want to plug?
Yes. I have a one-man show coming out.
Oh, cool.
I've been working on it for, you know, on and off for several years. It's been a passion project of mine. Anyways, enough of the preamble. it's called Roots and Branches, an untrue story based on several true ones. and it's going to be going up at the Public House Theater starting September 8th for 4 weeks.
Cool.
And then if it goes well there, we'll see if I'll carry it elsewhere.
Nice.
Peter, I still remember your character of the guy whose face was your neck.
Oh, yeah.
And that is still one of the funniest fucking sketches I've seen since I've been here.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, I remember you telling me about that sketch.
It's so great. Clayton, anything you want to plug?
Late 90s, Wednesdays at 10:30 at I.O. Come check it out. Soon that intensive's going to be over. I'm going to be like, hey, where are my talking games people at?
Where's my audiences?
Yeah, because last week it was sold out, and I was like, this is dangerous. I could get used to this. And that's not where I want to be.
A lot of intensive students are into talking games and stuff? Or?
No. Okay. No, they come and watch the late 90s because they don't speak English well. I think they think they're in TJ
right?
and Dave. Yeah, there's a bunch of East European folks.
Wow.
Yep. Strange. Not strange. Totally
great.
Fine.
Yeah, right.
But I mean by that is like strange because it's I.O. and it's just someplace.
Eastern European.
Yeah, like coming all this way.
Do you think
on,
because
man.
It's called the late 90s, they're like, this is how we dress at home.
Yeah, that's how they think of things.
So, I'm just thinking of tracksuits.
I also remember intensive students like laughing hard at stuff.
Yeah.
Well,
yeah.
They're excited.
Stuff
to be there.
That, I'll be honest with you, ain't that
didn't
funny.
Deserve it.
Yeah.
Yeah, I remember.
That's why going to festivals and playing at places out of town is so fun.
Oh, I love doing
because
that.
Because people, like, the most fun show I did in my life, it was me, Aaron Caponegro, and Jake Schneider did that, like, and it was totally on a whim, did the Kansas City Improv Festival. And it was like this big sold out house.
Yeah,
and,
I hear
like,
that's a good amazing. One.
Oh, we had a fantastic time. So, yeah, it's cool. Yeah. People who aren't, like, spoiled. which is a mean thing, you know.
All right, if you're a fan of the show somewhere other than Chicago, let Tim know about it, and we'll come to you.
Yeah,
talking
okay.
games live.
Deal, sure.
Plus, okay. maybe an improv workshop.
Yeah, just guys talking about video games on stage.
It's pretty fun.
Improvise The Last of Us. Can we get a suggestion of, so which one of us is going to die?
As for me, go to Concert Against Humanity if you're going to be at Gen Con. It's going to be a great show. Or come see me as part of the Goldfish Project, Sean Bauer's show at the Trapdoor Theater this Saturday at 8. Should be really fun. Anything else we got to cover?
No. That's
Peter?
It.
Peter, thanks for joining us.
We did it. We did it all, folks.
We did it. Clayton, take us out with one of your catchphrases.
If it smells like garbage and it looks like garbage, then you're garbage.
Bye, everybody.
This has been a Nerdalogs production. If you'd like to help make more things like this, please visit patreon.com/nerdalogs to donate today. And go to www.nerdalogs.com for more cool stuff. Thanks for being awesome.
Thank you all. I am GrabBot2354 8X.